Welcome back, everyone. Is there a correlation between the stock market and the Super Bowl? Our next guest has run a historical analysis correlating the key moments in the big game to equity market price action. There's even a Brady indicator. Well, perhaps that's not going to be in use this year. Ryan Dietrich, who is the LPL Financial Chief Market Strategist, joins us now. Ryan, because there's actually data to back this, who should investors want to win the Super Bowl?
Well, first off, full disclosure, right? You probably shouldn't invest in this. This is a fun thing this time of year that we do. But I'll tell you, you know, you look back historically here, the NFC, you know, when you look historically, the NFC does actually a lot better. The stock market's up 79% of the time when the NFC wins versus about two-thirds of the time when the AFC wins. And the returns are actually a little bit stronger also for the NFC. So you'd say, if you look at history, you might side with the NFC.
So, Ryan, just taking a look at this data, were there any exogenous factors, common exogenous factors that were happening during years where the S&P was positive when the NFC teams did win the Super Bowl that we could potentially point to as something that perhaps was the underlying cause for the stock market rising?
You know, I wish that there was. Again, we looked. I mean, it's pretty fun. I do want to get something. I'll be right back here. Here we go. All right. So I do have to show you guys something. I am a Bengals fan. All right. So there's my Joe Burrow jersey. I've been wearing this. They've won every game since then. I'm originally from Cincinnati. Here's one for you. The AFC, though, I said it wasn't all that great long term. 10 of the last 11 times the AFC won the Super Bowl, the S&P 500 was higher. All right. So historically, as a Bengal fan, I had to find a reason to root for the Bengals. And lately, AFC wins have done very well. So it's a playful thing you talk about. You don't want to invest in it. I'll just say very quickly, though, guys, with the Russia, Ukraine, we looked at all the major geopolitical events that have taken place since World War II. Here's the truth, all right? You see about a 5% correction. I'm talking World War II, we're talking 9/11, all these major things. And in about 3 weeks, usually the S&P makes up for it. So it's very serious what's happening out there right now. We got part of the world. But from an investment point of view, if the economy is still pretty strong, and we think it is, you probably want to use this as a buying opportunity potentially and to root for the Bengals because AFC has done better lately.
Okay, and so as we're going into this game, naturally, there are a bunch of other things that you've been able to track over the years. Yep. And the Brady indicator, because I brought that up, my own edification, would love to know more about that. I love that you grabbed your Bengals jersey, and you're probably loving that you don't have to face Tom Brady or didn't have to face Tom Brady in the run-up to getting to the Super Bowl.
That's a good point. I'm glad he's not there. You're right. But yeah, the Brady one's a fun one, right? So Tom Brady's made the Super Bowl 10 times. He's won it 7 times. Kind of a real simplistic thing we looked at was the Brady indicator. When Tom Brady wins the Super Bowl, the S&P does really well, like up almost double digits. It's when he's lost the Super Bowl, you've been down almost double digits. Again, this is totally random, but just more fun. But the Brady indicator would say if he were in the game, you'd probably root for him to win if you were a Bull.
Ryan, on a more serious note, you brought up some of the geopolitical concerns that we're seeing between Russia and Ukraine right now. I'm wondering, indicators aside, what do the fundamentals and the macroeconomic backdrop tell you right now about what kind of volatility investors should be expecting and whether we could potentially be seeing more days like today in the near term?
Yeah, here's the truth. We probably will see more days like today, not just on the 2% down, maybe 2% up. You know, we had last year gained 27%, only a 5% correction all year. Come on with you guys a couple times saying, listen, this year's not going to be, we're not going to be as spoiled. We think, you know, a 10% correction, maybe 2% this year could happen. And don't forget, midterm years historically are the most volatile of the 4-year cycle. You see a 17% peak to trough correction in a midterm year. But the truth is, again, earnings have been super strong this earnings season. I know Facebook dropped the dud, but earnings have been really strong. And I know today's consumer confidence number wasn't that great with the Michigan consumer confidence, but what we're seeing, consumers are still spending, jobs are still strong. So the underlying pinnings of this economy, in our opinion, are still very, very healthy. I mean, look at the industrial metals. They keep going up. I know some of that's inflation. I think some of that's global demand. In fact, I think a lot of that's global demand. Copper wouldn't be bringing out the new highs, aluminum making new highs. I mean, those are positive signs in our view of the global economy. So this volatility could be here to stay, but we'd stick with the thesis. This is still a global bull market. Stick with cyclical value. That still is one of our favorite areas.
And so even as we're kind of taking a look at the major averages and where they finished on the day, we were having some discussion with our markets guests a few minutes ago, and particularly around whether or not there would still be some of that buy on the dip type of sentiment in play, considering now you have the added thread of the international tensions escalating to the extent that they have right now. And we'll see to what extent conversations take place over the weekend between the U.S. and Russia. What particularly would you be watching for on any type of buy on the dip sentiment in this regard?
Yeah, well, it's been interesting. You mentioned the market weakness we've seen. What's one thing we've seen as market weakness, right? We've seen yields actually go up. We've seen technology not be the safe haven that it's been before. We've seen financials and energy do well. So there, the message of the market, there's, you know, I hate to say this time is different, but really since a QE world 13 years ago, this weakness, we're seeing a different reaction. So I think investors need to be aware of that. But also, you know, the S&P is just trading kind of, you know, in between its 200-day and 50-day moving average, kind of just going sideways, really. We're almost gone nowhere since September. Okay, if you look at the S&P, honestly. So yes, it's not perfect. We're down for the year. The NASDAQ's down, I think, 12% for the year after a big rally. So just some consolidation. The first and second quarter, again, of a midterm year, guys, is like two of the weakest quarters out of all 16 quarters of a four-year presidential cycle. So just kind of be aware of these things. But still, when all is said and done, earnings are justifying things. Technology earnings have been amazing, right? I mean, we've seen some really strong earnings across the board. That says we're not probably going to fall into recession anytime soon, in our opinion.
All right, Ryan Dietrich, LPL Financial Chief Market Strategist, joining us here today. He's got the jersey.
Hold my jersey up one more time. There it is. There you go.
You just need a cigar now, and you've got the complete outfit, I suppose.
I hope so.
Definitely. Ryan, appreciate the time.